This
to you
conference will now be recorded.
For many others. Oh, Heavenly Father, just thank you for the people who are participating. Thank you for truth and justice. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to open up to each other, Lord, so that we can help someone repair a tear that's been in their lives, oh God. Someone that can repair something and someone, and including themselves, Lord, who's had trouble with a particular situation or a particular family member or a particular history, Lord. Lord, just thank you for bringing us together to heal and work with each other in trust, Lord, in openness, Lord. And all of us being unjudgmental of each other, Lord, because Jesus is the one who we have to stand before, Lord. All we can do, Lord, is just talk about his way, the way that he wants us to live, and try to be better, oh Lord. We just thank you for bringing us together on this day. As I release it to our facilitator, Minister Michelle, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. All right. Dropping stuff over here. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for those who just joined on the line on tonight. So I'm just going to give some background information on tonight. I'm so thankful for my pastor, Pastor Carver Adams, our First Lady, my husband, Reverend Don Lester, and each and every one of you, especially the intercessors that's on the line. So thank you for your prayers and your intercession. So our topic tonight is Family Secrets, Dirty Lies, and the Spirit of Rejection. So let me just provide some purpose of why we're talking about what we're talking. We are talking about this not because of guilt, not because of shame, not because of condemnation, but even as we had our initial discussion over the last couple of weeks about the injustice that's in America, about systemic racism, about how things are going on in our community with gun violence, with our children, how things are going on within our nation. You know, there was some discussion about what do we do? Like, how do we, what roles do we play? You know, there's like Reverend Rollison was teaching last week about walking the walk. Well, how do you walk the walk? And there's some, our own pastor was saying, well, you know, the solution is to love one another. So the whole purpose of us talking about this is we can better love one another when we can love ourselves. Heal people, and hurt people. And so when we look at, you know, how we can be better in the communities in which we're in, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the nation or in our city, in our neighborhood, we have to first think about, okay, if we don't have, we can't change the world, we can't change the nations, we can't change what's happening in Africa, we can't change what's happening even at City Hall, but if we can start with what we can change and start with looking at ourselves and at our homes and our families, then and get the healing that we truly need, then we can be better whole to love our neighbor. And so that's the whole purpose of this discussion, is to look first at the injustice in our homes. Start with ourselves, start with our families, get to a place of wholeness and freedom and self-love. And then once we're whole as individuals, then we could be better and God can use us more and leverage us more so that we could be better in how we love, you know, love the people in our neighborhood and just be able to spread this contagious love. So we're going to be coming from Genesis 38. If someone can volunteer, not right now, but if I can get a volunteer to start with Genesis 38, verse 6 through 11, when called, I do want to give some more background information before we jump into scripture. So the whole purpose of this, you know, looking at black pain and being able to peel back the curtain, being able to have the hard conversation, because many of us suffer in silence. Many of us going through different stuff. We have issues with our family. We have these unforgiveness in our heart. We have these things that cause us to be able to suppress how we really feel. And a lot of us, like myself, truth be told, is I'm one for avoidance. okay? So I just avoid stuff. And sometimes when we avoid stuff and we suppress it and we don't talk about things, what it is it causes more hurt than harm. So what we want to do is, and it's going to look different from everyone. Someone may be dealing with an issue with a mother wound or a father wound with someone else. That's not an issue for them. It may be something different. So just to be able to provide some disclosures before we even start getting into scripture, and just to also let you know, this is going to be a series, prayerfully, an ongoing discussion. We're not going to be able to solve a lot of this stuff tonight, but it's going to be a series of ongoing discussion and prayerfully as we continue to have this dialogue once a month or whatever it may be, that the Lord will allow us to be able to peel back sort of like an onion to kind of give, you know, us deliverance, you know, in layers. I just want to say that even as we are talking about some stuff and the Holy Spirit may bring some stuff up, so you may be triggered by something. I just want to say that this may not be the forum for you to break your silence. So I know that my husband was saying earlier about, you know, we want to be open and all this stuff. That's good. This may not be the forum for you to break your silence. I do encourage you that if you do not have a sheet of paper or a pen, that you have, you know, something to write with. And as God brings stuff to your remembrance, that you could jot that down and work, you know, on your own. I do want to say that this is not a replacement for therapy and counseling. I do encourage you to seek professional advice, especially if you need it. Therapy is good. Counseling is good. I pray that if you do not have access to therapy and counseling, that that the Lord will bring people to your life that are considered a safe place that can hear you and can listen without judgment. I do want to say that even as we're sharing on tonight, that any personal thoughts or opinions by myself or anyone on the call is their own personal thoughts and opinions and may not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of our pastor, Reverend Carver Adams of the College Park Baptist Church leadership. I also want to say that this is more of a spiritual format where we're looking at how the Lord is using the people through biblical text as they walk through rejection. But this is not to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. So if for anything, if you're triggered by something or trauma or something that happens in the past, as the Holy Spirit begins to bring stuff up, if you feel that you are in a crisis, please call your doctor and seek help immediately. After you have sought professional help, you are definitely encouraged and welcome to submit a prayer request, and we will continue to pray for you and pray for you as you get the help that you need. And before we dive into scripture, I know I kind of like said a lot, but I kind of want to lay the foundation for this series before we move forward. So were there any questions before we start looking at the scripture? Okay, so let's start looking at the scripture and let's talk about what's happening here. When we start looking at the spirit of rejection, we're going to look at, it's so many instances of rejection in the Bible. But let's talk about this particular, we're going to look at Judah and Tamar. So if I could get someone to read Genesis chapter 38, verse 6 through, we're going to start at the first scriptures, verses 6 through 11.
Minister Michelle, I have the life application, and it reads, when his oldest son, Er, grew up, Judah arranged his marriage to a young woman named Tamar. But Er was a wicked man in the Lord's sight, so the Lord took his life. Then Judah said to Er's brother Onan, you must marry Tamar, as our law requires the brother of a man who has died. Her first son from you will be your brother's heir. Now, Onan was not willing to have a child who will not be his own heir. So whenever he had intercourse with Tamar, he spilled the semen on the ground to keep her from having a baby who would belong to his brother. But the Lord considered it a wicked thing for Onan to deny a child to his dead brother. So the Lord took Onan's life too. Then Judah told Tamar, his daughter-in-law, not to marry again in that time, but to return to her parents' home. she was to remain a widow until his youngest son, Shelah, was old enough to marry her. But Judah didn't really intend to do this because he was afraid Shelah would also die, like his two brothers. So Tamar went home to her parents. You said 11 or 12.
That's fine.
11.
Okay, 11. Okay, so let's recap and let's talk. Thank you so much, Minister Annette. We're going to talk about this for a little bit, but just to kind of recap, because I know that people may have different versions of the Bible, but so Tamar is married to Judah's oldest son, okay? And the scripture says that the oldest son, whose name is Er, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord put him to death. So she was then to based on the law and the traditions of that time, she's to be given as a wife to the next son, which he is. And so in order for him to have an heir, for, you know, there to be an heir, the son is supposed to take her as a wife and give her a child. So the scripture says in verse 8 that he sleeps with her, but the details of that. So he's sleeping with her, but he's not fulfilling he's not giving an offspring, okay? So the scripture goes on to say that's evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord allows him to die. So Judah has a third son. It's three boys all together. So the first son dies for doing evil in the sight of the Lord. The second son dies for doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And so she's technically, by law, is supposed to be given to the third son, but Judah sees his daughter-in-law as being cursed. So he tells the daughter-in-law, I'm going to allow you to marry the third son once he gets old enough. But the scripture says he has no intention of doing this because he sees her as being cursed and he does not want anything to happen to his child. So he sends Tamar to go back to her father's house. So before we get into the rest of this story, let's talk about rejection. I want to hear from you all what it is and how, where is the injustice in this story? Anyone? Let's start with rejection. What is rejection? What does it mean to be rejected? You don't have to give a dictionary meaning, but go ahead.
When someone basically does not want, when you're not accepted, when people turn on you for their perceived reason, not a valid reason, but they perceive a reason that they don't want to mess with you. You know, there are many ways to actually look at this, but when you think about her as a female, in their times and their laws, she did not inherit anything. The son basically got the inheritance and then would take care of his mother. So if she did not have an heir, she was just left out in the cold to starve, to be cold, to be homeless. So she was rejected by no cause of hers. She had dutifully fulfilled the position of a wife. So, you know, in life, if we're looking at rejection, a lot of us have been rejected on a lot of things. And I know me, jobs and different things. And we set an example sometimes. But, you know, there's two or three other things that I want to bring up during this conversation. But that was just my definition of rejection. And in the course of history, there was many rejections in that family.
Yeah, and we're gonna hit on that in a second. And again, we won't be able to get through everything tonight, but we're going to revisit this next month as well. But I want to hear from someone else as far as your thoughts on what it means to rejection. And I also want to hear about, based off of what we've read so far in this study, where is, because we talked about a whole lot of over the last couple of weeks about injustice. So just looking at this biblical scripture here, where is the injustice in this story?
Well, we know that Tamar was a widow, and she was grieving the loss of her husband. I'm sure she loved her husband. I'm sure she had some affection for her brother-in-law as well, but not the same love that she had for her husband. And Onan accepted her physically, but emotionally he refused her. And he also was going to cause her to have a lifetime of poverty, like Reverend Don said, because she would not have an heir. She would have no rights to anything. So he physically took advantage of her. He kept sleeping with her, knowing that she would never have that child. He was making sure she wouldn't have a child because he wanted to have the higher, have more inheritance for himself. Because that child, even though it would be biologically his, according to their law, it would be his brother's. So that would make his, that child have his own share of inheritance. And then her father-in-law further rejected her when he sent her back to her family. Because who sends back a wife to their family?
As an abuser, really.
Anyone else? Thank you so much, Minister Iris. Anyone else?
You know, it also, as everyone has said already, she was rejected. But, you know, it was a sense of abuse. Because they used her for their pleasures, but
yes.
she's grieving over and over again, you know, because she's been the first husband died, and now the one that's taking her is using her, but it's no emotional attachment, and most women don't love like that, you know. And so she's been physically and mentally, you know, emotionally scarred. So this, you know, to me, I mean, that's what I think.
Okay. Amen, Minister Annette. Yeah, and one of the things, you know, when even as we're talking about this, and Reverend Don was alluding to this earlier, you know, it's, and even as we think about the rejection in our own lives and people who have done us wrong, disappointments even in our own family, when we look, you know, a lot of stuff happens in cycles. Because even when we're talking about systemic racism and all of these different things, you look over the generations, over the decades, and you see how history has repeated itself. But even looking at it in our own personal family perspective, we see that, you know, there are cycles of this. So even as, you know, Don was mentioning earlier, when you think about Judah and you think about even his mother, you know, his dad, Jacob, is tricked into marrying his mother. His mother is Leah. Leah is his wife. In a way, she feels rejected. And the scripture says that even Leah feels like she knows that she's unloved by her husband. She's living in rejection. And the scripture says that, hey, you know, if I could just give this man a son, if I could just give this man another son, if I could just give this man another son, he's going to love me. You know, and so when we look at his mother, who is living a life of rejection, and she's having these babies, thinking that, you know, with this next child, he's going to love me. And so even in the midst of, you know, looking at his parents' rejection, look at how, you know, even Jacob, how he was tricked into marrying her. Well, he was a trick to himself because he tricked his brother. And then even in the middle of looking at this chapter, if you go back one chapter, you see how even Judah, his little brother, when Rachel, who is the wife that's loved by Jacob, when she's finally able to bore a child, the scripture says that, you know, talks about how much the dad loves his son. And you see how his brothers rejected him. And even in the middle of this dialogue and this being played out, you know, the brother has been sold, the dad thinks he's dead, and you see all of this rejection, this cycle in this family that's all around them. So one of the things, as we're looking at how we are, you know, where God is, some of the things that we are going through and some of the things that we're dealing with, you know, as we look to see, you know, our loved ones, whether it's our parents or our siblings and how they may be dealing with rejection, you know, that'll kind of give us a better insight too. And that's why these discussions are even more important, because like we said, you know, earlier, they say, you know, heal people. And so when you can feel healed, you know, you can, it perpetuates across the whole family. So let's look at the scripture a little bit more, because there's so much blessing, even in this mess, there's so much blessing that God gets the glory from. And so that's one of the key things that we want to look at even in this scripture, because despite whatever we're going through and however we may feel disappointed or shunned or rejected or anything like that, we know that God can get the glory out of it, because that's what he do best. When you think about all of the examples, God works in the middle of mess. It's just like that's where it you know, he gets the biggest glory, the biggest miracles come from. Let's look at, if someone can read verse 14, same chapter. We in chapter 38 of Genesis. Let's read read verses starting at 14 and let's see, hold on 1 second. Let's read 14 through 19, someone.
Verse 14 says, she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then she sat down at the entrance of Enaim, which is on the road to Tamar. For she saw that through Shelah, and now grown up, so she saw that Shelah had now grown up. She had not been given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. And what will you give me to sleep with you? She asked. He said, 14 through what?
19.
I'll send you a young goat from my flock, he said. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it? She asked. He said, what pledge should I give you? Your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand, she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. And she left and she took off the veil and put on her widow's clothes again.
Okay. Thank you, Minister Irvin. Okay. So what a myth. So the father has promised that when the youngest son is old enough, she's going to allow him to marry her. He doesn't make good on his promise. So here she is. She dresses up after the man, Judah's wife, dies, and she finds out that he's going somewhere. She dresses up as a prostitute, and she presents herself to Judah, the father, and they sleep together. Now, I don't know how anybody was sleeping together at any point in time in history without looking at nobody's face, but whatever. So the scripture says that she's supposed to get paid with a goat as a price. He doesn't have a goat, so she takes some form of ID she's going to get paid her goat. But of course, she gets pregnant. So, one of the things that I just want to talk about, because even as we, you know, this opinion is my own, but even as we talked last Monday about doors, okay, and how a door represents opportunity, we see that there she is given a strategy. Now, knows that he's not going to give her the third son, so she decides to make the decision to sleep with the father. But we see that she presents herself. This is how I see in my own personal view. She presents herself as an open door, and he falls into it. He goes into it. Now, do you think that this is a God-given strategy that God has given Tamar? Do you think God used this to get the glory? I'm just curious to see, for those of you who know the story of Tamar and her descendants, do you think God used this opportunity to get the glory out of this?
I wanted to ask one more thing before that question is answered, is that we didn't talk about the other rejection that she had, which was the barrenness. You know, her not having a child. So even though we know her family rejected her, her in-laws rejected her, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law, I'm sure her family had something that had some sense of rejection toward her because they sent her back. And then also society was going to reject her because she was barren. To be a woman and not have a child was a sense of rejection within itself by society. And I think ultimately God uses everything, every opportunity to get the glory. I'm not saying that he told her to do it, but her descendants proved that God gets the glory out of the situation.
You know what? That is so on point, because even when we look at Judah's parents, even as we look at Judah and Leah, you know, there's two sides of this, because, you know, based on that time, you know, society, if you were a woman and you didn't have a child, you were not of value. And so that's why Leah, from a different perspective of this, his mother felt like having a child would make her husband love her, you know. And so, you know, so I can see both perspectives to this, how, you know, even Leah was rejected, even though she was, you know, popping kids out.
Our rejection is within ourselves, because, you know, in the scripture, you don't see anywhere where Jacob mistreated Leah. We know that he didn't want her. We know that he didn't choose her, but he did keep her. He did give her, 11 sons, you know, so he did, you know, he was a husband to her. He was faithful to her. He did care for her. We don't see anywhere in scripture where he mistreated her, but she knew the rejection because he preferred Rachel over her, because he chose Rachel and he worked for Rachel. You know, that's the one he was working towards. But sometimes as women, we have this rejection within ourselves that we create that may not even be there.
Absolutely. Is there anyone else on the call who would like to share before we wrap up on this? I'm gonna. I know our time is limited, but we're going to pick up on this in 2 weeks. I do have some homework and some self-reflection for those of you who may be dealing with rejection or family issues. But is there anyone else who would like to share?
Minister Michelle,
I
love to add. The question that you asked a while ago, when we look into scripture all the way from Genesis to Revelation, it is God's plan. And all of these things that happen, he ordained it. In other words, he allowed it to happen. Now, and we know farther down, we're going to see Tamar come up in the lineage of Jesus, I believe. Farther down, when you read in those names of the lineage, because remember she had those twins, and their names over further in that chapter, this chapter that we're in right now. But it just shows that what God allows, where we as humans look at it from the human side, it's done from the spiritual side. We have to look at it, and we look at it as rejection and all these. But even we go through this, but God allows us to go through it, and then we come out in the end better off than we were in the beginning. Now, Tamar went through some things, but as Miss Iris said, she wasn't mistreated. He just sent her away to her family. But then if you notice what she did, it's kind of like she got back at him because he didn't allow her to marry that boy. And when she found it out and dressed herself up as a harlot, then went in to him, and look what happened. She had twin boys. And he didn't know it was her until after it happened. I believe you said evidently they weren't looking in the face of each other.
Yes.
Or maybe it was dark. But yes, God allows things to happen that he does get the glory from it. As we study, you know, in Genesis, we find out a lot that happened, starting with Judah, well, going all the way back to Isaac and Jacob, and then coming on down to Joseph and all of these. We see so many things that happened that to us, you know, how Joseph was rejected by his brothers. And then we see it all through the Bible. And when we do what we see at the end of it, how God gets the glory, because he steps in and he changes things, and things come out the way that he intended for it to be in the very beginning. But, you know, we have to go through some things, because remember, Jesus went through some horrible things. So we as humans, we're going to experience some things. We're going to experience some rejection in our lives. I've experienced some in my life, and I've been here a long time. So I know what it is and how it feels to be rejected. And a lot of us have dealt with it, still dealing with it, and we'll have to deal with it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, you were so on point, because she is a part of the lineage of Jesus, and that's just a reminder that she has a call on her life. And even when she is pregnant, I think that for me, the twins represent double. I mean, she's blessed. She has a double blessing because she has two babies at one time. So we see how God leverages that. Is there a brother on the call who would like to share? We definitely want to have an opportunity if there's a, you know, some of the brothers that's on the call that would like to share. Okay, we won't continue to, I just recommend reading the rest of this chapter on your own. But one of the things that I love about this is because I love, you know, Judah, his name means thanks and his name means praise. And one of the things that I love about this is because when he finds out his daughter-in-law is pregnant, not knowing he's the dad, he says that he wants to put her to death. I mean, so you see him in a place of judgment where it's like, you know, we're going to burn her. So they're taking her out for her to burn her to death. And when she realizes, when she reveals that he is the father, I love how he's at a place of conviction, and how he just, there's like a compassion, there's a reconciliation that comes over him that allows him to own up to his role in this. So I just love how the Lord is using Judah. And one of the things that I want to look at when we continue next time is not only how God used him to be able to bless this, but even as the context of this scripture is even as, you know, these brothers have sold their brother Joseph into slavery, want to talk about next time Judah's role and how the Lord uses him to with, you know, when they realize, well, I don't think they really realize that Joseph is alive, but I think I'll find out the scripture and send it. But there's a scripture where Joseph sends for the brothers or something, or he keeps one, and Judah actually tries to be a I think one of the brothers there, I think he's trying to keep Benjamin, or I'm getting it all mixed up, but I'm going to send it out with the homework assignment. But Judah basically has a role in this, and God is using him. He's learning from his experiences to be a blessing even to his brother. So we're going to look at how God used that and how he's learning from these mistakes.
And can I add one more thing, Sister Michelle, about Tamar? You know, she was compassionate towards him as well, because everybody knew she was pregnant and everybody assumed that she had committed prostitution. She could have outed Judah. She did not let everybody know who she had slept with. She only let him know. She gave him those the identity of the child and not everybody else. So she was pretty passionate about him as well, because he was guilty of prostitution as well. And the sin, he could have been put to death himself for participating in that process. And he assumed that she was a prostitute. She didn't really present, she presented herself, she hid her face, but he assumed that she was in front of a shrine for prostitution or in a place where prostitutes were. But there was no such place where in that, where she was. She was not at a prostitute's den, you know. So he had made a lot of assumptions on himself. But she was, she protected him in this, in the sense of not telling everybody. She could have told her own dad that her father-in-law had, you know, had slept with her and got her pregnant. She could have told her own family, but she didn't. She just told him. She revealed it to him. So that was her sense of her showing compassion towards him as well. And also, talking about the ordaining of God, the fact that her name is mentioned in the Bible, not just in the lineage of Christ, but in the Bible period. There's so many women in this Bible that it's just a woman or the daughter or the wife, you know, but her name is mentioned. She's given a name. She's given who she is identified clearly in the Bible.
Yes.
This is Sister Jackson. I just wanted to point out one thing that I really thought was very significant about Tamar. When she was getting ready to be with Judah, she made him give her things that he would recognize that he was the one that was the father. So it wouldn't be like, I need a paternity test. You know, he gave her things and she presented those things back to him. And that's how he recognized that, yeah, that was me. I'm the father. I'm the one who. So he said in his words, she is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Selah.
And that ring that he had is the ring that he would buy property with, the ring that he would sell things with. That ring alone identified who he was, and she could have gave it to anyone. She could have went to other elders and said, gave his ring, they would have knew it was him. But she did not disgrace him in that way. She only came to him. She handed him those items.
Yes.
So Sister Jackson and Minister Iris, just based off of what y'all said, I mean, some of the things that came up is that this is a woman of strategy. This is a woman of wisdom. And you see that she gets honored. She's honored. You know, she gets her place of honor in the story, in the lineage of Jesus. So God is all over. God is all over.
She actually set out to go talk to him about getting her his son. But as faith has it, it turned out that the father came with an interest in her. Although she wasn't in her widow clothes anymore, he just mistook her for someone else and she just let it happen.
Amen.
And that's one more thing I'm going to add, so I'm not going to say anything else, but the widow's clothes is another form of, now I'm not going to say it's straight rejection, but when you in widow's clothes, they don't come to you and dance and have parties. They come with you and they grieve with you. So as long as she was wearing those clothes, there are certain things she couldn't do, certain places she couldn't go. People going to treat her a certain way as long as she wore those clothes. And she had to wear those clothes until her period of grieving was over or until she was married again. So that's another form of rejection that she had to live with every single day in her life. There's a lot to this story, like you said, and it's a good story about rejection and about compassion and about wisdom, because she used the customs of her land in order to get what she needed and desired. She didn't go around her customs, or she didn't do anything backhanded. She went through she used her own customs to get exactly what she needed to be okay and to receive favor and receive the blessing that God had promised her.
Amen. Before I give the homework for revisit this on 2 weeks, because I know it's just a lot here, and I want to delve a little bit more in forgiveness the blessing that's behind forgiveness. I wanted to see if there was anyone who has not shared who wanted to share something, or if there was a brother on the call that wanted to say something. Okay, is there anyone that's on the call that is biologically related to me? Is there anyone that's on the line that's biologically related to me?
So let me biologically, what was the last word you used?
Biologically related to me.
Oh.
Okay, let me stop the recording. I didn't know if any of my sisters or anything was on the call, but let me stop the recording right now. One moment.
This conference will now be recorded.
Now, what I do want to do is I have this homework assignment, and so we'll reconvene in 2 weeks because I want you all to really look at some of the areas that the Lord, prayerfully, the Holy Spirit will be able to bring things up, whether it's a past trauma, whether it's something that, and it could be even dealing with a parent or a loved one. Someone may be dead and in the grave. And yet there may be these issues that we're dealing with where we have not forgiven, where we feel like we've been taken advantage of, where we feel like we've been manipulated. But we want to allow the Holy Spirit to allow you to bring those things up so that he can use that and he can push you forward to whatever it is that he is calling you to do. So the homework assignment, which I will post, is I want you to prayerfully identify the areas in the life where you feel rejected. Now, this is homework. This is self-reflection. So this is not something you have to share. But identify the areas in the life where you feel rejected. I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance, the things, the situations, the encounters that you may have suppressed that have kept you from being healed. I want you to ask the Lord, or actually, when you're writing these things, where is the injustice in your story? Where is it that you feel that you've been done wrong? I want you to prayerfully consider identifying. We want to identify the lie of the enemy in that and ask the Lord how he's going to get glory from it. And just be reminded that God works his greatest miracles in the midst of a messy situation. If we can identify these things, we can deal with these things, and we can get the healing that we need. There are 2 chapters that I want you to meditate on over the next 2 weeks, because we'll pick this up in about 2 weeks. I want you to meditate on Isaiah 35, and I also want you to meditate on Psalms 118. I'm going to post this on the website. Isaiah 35 and meditate on Psalms 118, because this is the word of the Lord about how he's going to use these things. And how he's going to use you. So I just want you to remember that. And before I pray on tonight and just say some quick announcements about our upcoming teachings, I wanted to see if there were any questions or if there was anyone who wanted to share. Okay, so we're going to continue this, looking at the tail end of this story between Judah and Tamar. I love how the Lord brings Judah to this place of, taking accountability and ownership of what he did. We're going to also look to see what role Judah plays when the brothers are reunited with their brother Joseph, which they sold into slavery. And then we're going to shift into forgiveness and the power of forgiveness and how forgiveness can help free us and allow us to love ourselves and love other people who've done us wrong. Trust me. I tell you, it's really disappointing, even in the story that I had shared. You know, got your answer and won't give it to you. And you could just say, Lord, you know what? I forgive that. I forgive this person. I forgive that person, knowingly or unknowingly. You know, I release them and I set them free. And then we'll also talk about how you know that you forgive. Because if you're triggered and you start having flashbacks and it makes you all kind of mad and your blood be boiling, then you have not truly forgive. So we're going to talk about forgiveness.
That's right.
Now, So just as an announcement, prayer call, we'll be praying this week on Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. and Thursday morning at 7 a.m. This same line, join us in prayer. We want to be able to cover you. We have a prayer list, you know, so just if there's any prayers, submit them on the website or send a text. We're going to cover those areas. Minister Annette will be facilitating the call on Wednesday night, and she is going to be teaching from a topic, It's Okay If I'm Not Okay. That's Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. So please make sure that you're joining in at that time. Now, next week, we're going to have two auxiliary meetings on next week. On Monday night, it's going to be the women's meeting, women's sisters and services meeting next Monday. On Wednesday night, it's going to be the grief meeting for the grief class on Wednesday night, and then after that, then we'll pick this up. So let me say a quick prayer. If there's anyone that wanted to share, I just want to say a quick prayer. Okay, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for your spirit because we know that despite anything that's going on in our lives, it's you that can heal. It's you that can deliver. It's you that can set free. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that even as sin has run rampant in the world, even from the beginning of time, how you've been able to leverage all of these things. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for how you are using us and how you're going to use the places that we hurt, the places where we feel like we've been manipulated, where we feel like we've been rejected, where we feel like we've been taken advantage of, and how you can use it for your glory. I thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, everyone that listens to the replay of this, God. Lord, I ask God that you would take away any type of guilt, that you would take away any type of shame, that you would take away any type of condemnation. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for an outpouring of love, an outpouring of forgiveness, an outpouring of acceptance, God. And I just thank you, Lord, even as you're working with us over the next 2 weeks and things are brought to our remembrance, God, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you would allow the necessary discussions to be had so that we can be set free. So I thank you for the support system of everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Heavenly Father, even for the professionals, those who are, whether it's paid help or support or whatever it may be. I just thank you, Heavenly Father, that your people can get the healing and the deliverance that they need so that we can be free to be loved and that we can be who you want us to be as sons and daughters, that we could be strong in our family as mothers and fathers and sons and sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts. And that we can be strong members in our community and in our church so that we can bless and help others, God. Lord, we just give all of the ugliness and the dirtiness to you, and we say, breathe on it, God, and allow your glory to form. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless amen. You. Love you.
Amen. Amen.
Love you all.
All right, love you all. God bless you.
Be blessed.
Thank you.